Betty, let's take a moment just to pray. Father God, you truly are our master. We worship you and we thank you for the love you have for us. As we open your word now together, as a team here, again, we ask your spirit, we invite him into our hearts. Give us understanding. Give us the message you have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to be in John, the 20th chapter today. John, the 20th chapter, and we're going to take a look at the story of Thomas. And so we're going to start with verse 24, and we'll read through the rest of the chapter. So this is John 20, verse 24, and through the rest of the chapter. And Don, I'm going to ask you to read the first verse, verse 24, and then we'll just go right around the circle here. And we each want to read one verse, okay? Don, go for it.
Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came.
The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you."
Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
And Thomas answered and said to him, "The Lord, or my Lord, my God."
Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe."
And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book.
But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I have to point out one thing before I start asking questions that I think is really important here. We have different translations. That's good. And you might share, if you get a different thought out of your translation. But in my translation here, let's see, where was that? I saw it here somewhere. Yeah, a week later. Hers said it 8 days later. Mine says a week later, his disciples were in the house again. I want you to notice that. In the house again. They had small groups back there, too, see. I just want you to know that, okay? Okay, that's my translation. Anyway, let's take a look at our first question we have here. How does Thomas' personality compare to Mary's, which you look at verses 10 to 18, and to the other disciples? And, of course, that we just basically read verse 24 there, or 25, 19, right in that area. What do you think of Thomas and what he was expressing and what Mary felt and the other disciples felt? What's the difference here?
Well, I put, and it might be a little harsh, but I put that Thomas was faithless, Mary was faithful, and the other disciples were fearful.
Interesting. Cool.
Because they all scattered, right?
They all scattered.
And I know the next question, why was Thomas not there? Maybe he was still hiding.
Okay. Yeah, why wasn't Thomas still there? Maybe he's still hiding. Good. I mean, we can take those two questions together. Anyone else?
I think you need to go back to the context of Mary, because, you know, what was Mary going through? And if you read, you know, 1 through 18, it talks about that. And, you know, the next morning, Mary and a couple of the disciples got and they started heading to the tomb. And when Mary got there, she looked inside and, you know, they had that conversation with the angel. And the angel said, "So, you know, who are you looking for?" And she said, "Well, you know, you've laid my master. You know, if you tell me where he is." And she turned around and saw Jesus and didn't recognize him. But it was interesting to me, she said, to me, she was also doubtful. She didn't believe.
Interesting.
You know, because what was Thomas's disbelief? Thomas didn't believe that basically the man could die and then be raised back to life. Well, Mary went to the tomb looking for the dead body. So I really think that they were pretty much the same.
That's interesting. Okay. Anyone else? What do you think?
Well, one of the things that I thought about Mary was going back even further into the time that Jesus spent with them, and that Mary was the one that was sitting and listening to him when her sister Martha was trying to get the party planned. And, it was like Mary was oblivious to all of the details that needed to be done. She was so focused on Jesus. And now we're looking at Thomas, and I kind of feel like that Thomas probably felt like, okay, he's dead, and that's it. It's the end of the story, and I'm on my way.
And they're coming after me next.
Yeah, exactly, because I had been associated with him.
Of course, you got to think back. Just go back a little bit further before the crucifixion. What were the disciples wanting? What were they believing?
An earthly kingdom.
Earthly kingdom, exactly.
Yes.
So maybe Thomas was what? Disappointed?
Disappointed in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen.
Certainly it wasn't ending like he expected it to.
Right.
Yeah, regardless of which kingdom, it still didn't end the way he thought it should.
One area I was reading, and it pointed out also that he actually was jealous that Jesus had appeared to the disciples, but not him. I thought that was an interesting comment, too.
Well, if he had stuck with the disciples, he could have seen him.
Well, now I'm going to go on top of that one. If he would have attended the small group.
There you go.
You opened it up. Okay. Good, very good. How did Jesus deal with Thomas's doubt?
Showed him physical proof. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Mm-hmm. Now do you believe?
I think it was important for Jesus to have Thomas not doubt that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made a point for Thomas to see him physically. And so I took that it was important for Jesus, for Thomas to be a believer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like that because, you know, and I look at, you know, each one of us here, and I would bet that each one of us have come to Jesus, to know Jesus in a different way. And that's so important to me because Jesus will meet us at whatever our need is. He met mm-hmm. Thomas with a physical, here, come touch me.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the other disciples felt when they shared with Thomas that they'd seen Jesus and Jesus was alive? And Thomas didn't believe him. How do you think they felt about that?
I think they knew that who Thomas was. He was doubting. He was like, that's just him. But Jesus is going to come, and he's going to prove to him. Mm-hmm. I think when I read this, it feels like, to me anyway, that Jesus was kind of reprimanding him mm-hmm. and saying, how long have you been with me, and you still don't believe what I've said? Oh, here. Here, can't you see it now? And feel. And it's like, well, you know, it's like trying to train a child to believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure he's been telling them over and over, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And yet they were so focused on what they thought should happen that they missed the whole point.
Anybody else?
I'd just like to a little more on what Daisy was saying, because I think that, you know, we can at times get stuck into that, that we have our preconceived ideas of how things are supposed to happen, and if they don't happen exactly like that, do we then, you know, fall apart like Thomas did, or is there more to our belief than preconceived ideas?
When I was looking through these questions that you gave us, one of the things that I thought of is Why did Jesus ask Thomas to be a disciple? Jesus knew the personalities of all the men that he asked to follow him. He's asking a doubter. You know, it's kind of like sometimes we have questioned, why did Jesus ask Judas, who he knew was going to betray him? But here is Thomas, and Jesus knew there was going to be a problem with him. Why would he ask him to be a disciple?
Maybe because he knew that some of the followers down through the ages might doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you look at it from an other standstill, from our perspective, not from a biblical standpoint, all these different characters that God chose as disciples are basically different people in our church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good point.
Personality type traits. Yeah.
For people to, like, doubting Thomas. I guarantee you all of us in this church has doubted being here, doubting God. Who is he? Why? Where is he when I need him? Where is he when my grandma passed away?
Right.
All this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I think God already knew all that. He chose the fishermen. If you look at fishermen, they're nasty. Right. I mean, foul mouth.
You know that you just offended like most of the congregation when you said that. I'm just saying, you're just careful.
I mean, if you look at it from there in the biblical times.
Oh.
Biblical times.
They were rough people. Yeah.
More like sailors.
Yes.
And he wants to use them as an example to us, why he chose them and why he's calling us.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. That's good. My only concern with that philosophy, which I think is true, is I wonder who Judas might be among us. Is there a Judas in our group? I hope not. It doesn't have to be, does it? But Judas is more or less really the unbelievers, wouldn't you think?
Right.
I would. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. Judas wasn't selected by Jesus.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Judas was selected by the rest of the disciples and brought to him and said, hey, we need somebody to take care of our money. And this guy knows some, you know, about, he can count. And Jesus basically allowed it. And I think there's a lot more behind that, but I think that's...
Yeah.
Well, they had a tax collector among them. You'd think he could count.
Exactly.
Yes, that's right.
He's collecting taxes on himself.
What do you think happened to Thomas's faith after Jesus presented himself?
I think he grew.
We hope it grew,
right. Yeah.
with the evidence, but we really don't know. We're not really told. So we're just praying that he did.
He was quite excited right there, wasn't he? Yeah. Really, that gave him a big boost. My Lord, my God.
Mm-hmm. And then Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So Jesus knew what was in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that would include all of us. Mm-hmm. We have not seen Jesus, and yet we believe.
Mm-hmm. We have the evidence.
What evidence?
In the Bible. The scripture, the story we just read.
Okay.
Well, and I think that's so important because I think it goes back to what Don was talking about. You know, Jesus went to Thomas and said, here, touch it, feel it, here it is. This is the evidence that you need. And I think Cohen is right that we have evidence in our lives. You know, it's more than just the words on a page. Mm-hmm. It's when you see people in our church who have had cancer and that cancer has been taken away. When you hear us stories of, you know, of a woman praying and opens her eyes and angels are all about. You know, these are evidences.
Yeah.
It's a matter of whether we really want to believe them or not.
Yeah. I have a simple question. So Jesus presented to Thomas, here's my hands, feel them. Did Thomas do that? Did he put his hand in there?
Yes, he did.
Huh? You think he did?
I think he did.
I don't know if he did or not, man. You guys all think he did.
Yeah.
You think he actually touched Jesus?
Yes.
Wow.
You have to ask him
something. I kind of wonder. I'm thinking, I'm thinking he just took a look at Jesus and fell on his knees. But you guys might be right. Maybe he
but did. Because of what he said in verse 25.
What did he say in 25?
Unless I see his hands and put my finger into the print of the nails.
But that was before he saw Jesus. Okay. That's right. He did say that. There's no doubt about that.
I suppose you could take, if you're going to be that literal with it, you could take 29 and it says, Jesus says, because you have not touched, but because you have seen. But I agree. I think I think Thomas was the type of guy who went up and went, oh, yeah, oh, look at that.
All right. It was interesting to me, the fifth question, we kind of answered it. It says, what did Jesus mean when he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed? I think of the women. After Mary saw Jesus, the women spreading the news. Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. And then I think of the guards. No, he's not. The disciples chose the body, took it away, So today we share our love and our message with one another and our neighbors and our friends. Some believe, some don't. Evidence we just gave. According to John, why were the miraculous signs of Jesus recorded in the scriptures? Why were these different signs recorded?
So we may believe.
Mm-hmm. So we may believe.
Because we have not seen.
Yeah.
Because we have not seen. So the word itself, Jesus has these stories should help us then. So that leads us right into one of our application questions. How have the stories of Jesus strengthened your belief? Can you answer that question? How have the stories of Jesus... Give me an example. What story in the Bible of Jesus has really strengthened you in your belief in Jesus?
I don't know that it was a story, but just that he would do what he felt was right and it didn't matter what anybody else thought. He was following God, and nothing else really mattered. I think that's powerful.
Okay. Good.
I think all the stories collectively describe his personality to show us what kind of guy that we serve.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back to the lady that caught an adultery, right? I mean, you have to picture yourself as her. Imagine all the held, all the leaders of the world beating down on you, and this stranger comes out of nowhere and basically says, okay, if you're going to do something to her or do something to you, and you guys haven't sinned, then do it. Not one of us can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's a constant reminder of all the sins that we've done.
That really strengthens your faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yeah, I like that because it shows that regardless of how good you think you are or how bad you think you are, that, Jesus is there for you. That, we should not look, to others to find that... I guess that uplifting, that acceptance, that Jesus has accepted us the way that we are. Mm-hmm. Since we're talking to this story, I really like this story. To me, this really strengthens my faith because it's like Donna said, again, I go back to the same thing. Jesus met Thomas where Thomas needed it the most. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that we have a God that will do that, it's beyond words.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to be honest with you. I feel my faith is very strong, and that. But I remember once in a while, in the past, it's kind of creeped in. If I don't make it to heaven, it's okay because God knows best. That's a little bit of doubt. And I have to admit that our morning devotion we had here about a week or so ago, in that devotion, it was so plain and so powerful that Jesus accepts us 100% and believes in us and will save us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like after we had that devotion, just like a huge weight lifted off of me. Mm-hmm. Huge weight. So the question is, when you have doubts in your faith, what have you found to be helpful? Anything particular?
Lots of prayer.
Prayer. Yeah. Lots of prayer.
And remembering how he has taken care of me in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Good.
When, you know, I have doubts or something's going on in my life and, you know, it's hard, I talk to my friends that also believe in the same things I do, and that's really helpful because it reinforces your faith, kind of seeing other people have the same faith. So.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, because we can draw strength knowing that, you know, other people mm-hmm. have gone through the same thing, and they made it. If
yeah.
they can make it,
right?
Yeah,
I can
do this.
Well, sometimes I talk to other humans, like my husband or somebody else, and get some feedback about, you know, maybe they tell me something about how they work through struggles, and
yeah.
that helps me work through struggles.
I mean, for me, it's talking to, I like testing my faith sometimes. Like I say with my friend Noah. He has a different religion. He doesn't even have a religion. He's been with a lot of different friends with a lot of different religions, and he doesn't know what to believe.
Mm.
For me, talking to him and about religion and stuff, and I think Heather and Timothy, Timothy is like her boyfriend up at Portland at the time, right now. And they started a TLT youth rally, kind of for a prayer group kind of thing. They scheduled everybody up with different people. Me, they scheduled me up with Noah. While him and I video chatted and talked about all this other stuff, there was times where I didn't even know what to say to him. I'm like, bro, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And for me personally, I love that because it tested my faith and sees how and tells me how much I know, which makes me want to ask questions more and get more help from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does Noah live here?
Yes.
Let's add him to our blessing list. I think it'd be good. You know, invite him to our small group sometime. He might come to our socials. So we'll add Noah. We just added Noah. I don't know what happened to the pin. Just added. Yeah. Okay. Good. Let's remember Noah constantly. Last question. If you could ask God one question about your struggles, what would it be? Wow.
What's your plan?
What?
What's your plan? What are you preparing me for?
Mm.
Yeah.
I believe okay. that the struggles that you go through are preparing you for what God has in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. when bad things happen, you know, you just have to wonder, what is he planning?
Amen.
What question that comes to my mind is, what do you want me to learn?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to learn?
Mm-hmm. There's something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
even though I go
struggle.
Through something really rough. There's something that you want me to learn. So open my eyes, open my heart, so that I can receive that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've done, as a pastor, you know, they never have problems. As a pastor, I've gone through a crisis. And after each one, I look back and I think, man, that's awesome, because I was put in a situation where that crisis helped me help somebody else. That's happened time after time. But I remember one time I was in the middle of this crisis and I said, Lord, I'm not sure I want to grow anymore. Anyone else want to share?
I'm with Cassie.
Yeah.
You know, that would be, to me, you know, why?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what... I know that it's all for a purpose,
yeah.
but what is it? You know, I mean, I'm somebody that I want to, you know, be able to know that, you know, here, 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 and here, and this is what it's for, and this is where I'm headed, and that's what I'm supposed to do at the end of it. But I love what she said, that, you know, knowing that every trial makes you stronger.
That's right.
And the older you get, and she, evidently she's already figured this out way before I did, but the older you get, the more I think you can look back on those and see the steps that you've taken. And, you know, I look back at my life and I'm going, man, I don't know why God's doing this, but you just gotta let him.
Doubts and struggles. I want you to turn to each other now. Pray for each other. Sorry? Yeah. There'll be three of you. There'll be three of you. You three ladies can do it. Just pray for each other.
She's an inspiration to me, and I know to all that it's around her, continue to bless her,
to continue
as well. Daisy, she continues to influence in several ways, in such a way that she was your daughter,
and work
she witnesses.
Well, thank you each one for coming, and look forward to meeting again next week. And I want to say to the congregation, it's not easy to sit around in a small group and have an audience watch you. But I think they did awesome, don't you? Just give them a hand. I pray that you got the spiritual lessons on Thomas, apply it to your life, and be sure to hand in your connect cards as you leave. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the chance that we can have these high experiences during the week in our groups, studying your word, sharing together, praying for one another. Bless us and keep us now the rest of the Sabbath day, and may we be a blessing to those we associate with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.